Take a Hint, written by Rotasha and read by K-Burb as Jason Todd and
Flower Parish as Tim Drake, Bruce Wayne, and Alfred Pennyworth.
This is a DC fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships between Tim and Jason, as well as mentioned Tim/Con. Additional tags include Bat Family, Brotherly Bonding, Light Angst, Angst with a Happy Ending, Mental Health Issues, and POV Jason Todd. This is part one of Hate Cover. I wish we were dead. I wish they'd killed us. They'd been trapped together for all of 15 minutes, tops, and Jason was already going out of his mind. It was bad enough that he and Tim had been captured on a routine reconnaissance mission by a bunch of ordinary gangsters. Now, Jason was stuck in a confined space with one of the last people he wanted to spend any amount of one-on-one time with. Obviously, Jason blamed him for this. And not just because he was Tim, although that would be reason enough. This was Tim's case. He'd been investigating rumors that someone was attempting to replicate Scarecrow's fear toxin and distributing it to the local gangs, and he'd called in Jason to assist him, for whatever reason. Jason hadn't questioned it. It had seemed like it had been an easy enough case to bust wide open, especially for the two of them. Apparently not. The bootleg fear toxin wasn't nearly as effective as Scarecrow's formula, but it was still potent stuff, which Jason knew because he and Tim had gotten dosed with it when they'd broken into a warehouse where Tim knew one of Gotham's gangs was storing their supply. It didn't make them vividly hallucinate their worst fears, but it did disorient them enough that a dozen men with guns had been able to take them out. Jason could take out a dozen men with guns with both hands tied behind his back, under normal circumstances. He knew Tim could too. But not when neither of them could see straight or even think straight. And now they were here, trapped in a windowless room in a warehouse. Jason had tried to break the door down. Tim had paced around the circumference of the room searching for a way out or anything they could use to get the door open. The walls, floor, and ceiling were bare. No vents, no nothing. Tim was muttering to himself, trying to work out a solution, and it was driving Jason crazy. Hence, his complaint. It wasn't helping that, although the toxin had worn off much faster than Scarecrow's formula, it had left Jason with a killer headache, pounding away at the front of his skull like a hammer to the tune of Tim's footsteps. He wouldn't literally rather be dead, but an hour of this and he might.
You're not being helpful.
Tim scolded, glaring in his direction. I'm not trying to be helpful, I'm complaining, Jason said. He'd taken off his helmet to massage his forehead, so only his mask covered his face, and Tim could see clearly how he felt about their current situation. Tim stopped pacing, fucking finally, and came to stand in front of Jason, hands on his hips.
Well, stop complaining, because I've figured out a way to get out of here. And I think you're gonna like it.
Doubtful? Your ideas suck. This was a blatant lie. Tim had a reputation as a genius for a reason. Not that Jason would ever admit it. But go on.
They obviously want us alive.
Tim explained.
Otherwise, we'd already be dead.
Yeah, I covered that, Jason griped. And I genuinely wish they'd killed us, because then I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. Tim huffed out an impatient breath. He ignored Jason's insult and continued relaying his plan.
So, I need you to pretend to try to kill me,
he said. That got Jason's attention. Pretending to kill Tim, huh? That sounded right up his alley. I'm listening.
I've been paying attention every time I hear a guard walk past our door. I'm sure you have too. I've memorized their rotation.
Jason nodded, prompting Tim to continue. Yes, he had been paying attention. It was second nature. Memorizing guard rotations was escape plan 101.
The next time someone's nearby, we'll stage a loud fight where it'll sound like you're choking me out. They'll send someone in here to separate us, and that's when we make our move.
Jason raised an eyebrow. It was simple, straightforward. It might work. But there were also plenty of opportunities for it to go wrong. That's your plan? He said skeptically.
That's my plan,
Tim confirmed. And you actually think it'll work?
It's better than anything you've suggested,
Tim pointed out bitterly.
And you get to pretend to strangle me.
That was a point in Tim's favor. Jason could only think of one thing that would make it even better. Can I punch you in the face? It had been so long since he'd punched Tim in the face, he thought wistfully. It would be such a good way to let out his pent-up frustration.
I have a date tomorrow,
Tim told him. Jason rolled his eyes, not that Tim could see them behind the white lenses of Jason's mask, but hopefully Tim could sense it. Can't you just cover the bruise with concealer like the rest of us? Tim scoffed.
Everyone knows you don't conceal your injuries. You think they make you look more badass.
First of all, they did make Jason look more badass. That was just a fact. And second of all, you're not helping your case if you don't want me to punch you in the face.
You can punch me in the gut,
Tim offered. I'd rather knee you in the crotch.
What part of "I have a date tomorrow" do you not understand?
Jason crossed his arms over his chest. You're getting laid after this date.
It's with my boyfriend, so yeah, I was hoping to get laid after,
Tim said. Tim had been dating Khan for a few months now, which Jason knew not only because Dick was such an effective gossip, but also because Tim didn't have quite as much of a stick up his ass as he usually did. Probably because now he had something else up his ass. As gross as it was to think about Tim having a sex life, Khan was clearly a good influence on him, so Tim could keep getting that super dick as much as he wanted as far as Jason was concerned. As long as Jason never had to hear any details about it. Ever. Fine, Jason conceded. Gut punch and a fake strangling. He held out a hand and they shook on it. They waited in silence for the next guard rotation. Then Tim said,
okay, I'm going to provoke you.
Should be easy for you, Jason remarked.
You are such a fucking asshole.
Was that it? Pathetic? Ouch, ouch, Jason taunted. Never heard that one before.
That wasn't meant to provoke you. That was just a fact. This is meant to provoke you.
Tim stood there with a smug look on his smug face and said,
when I read books, I don't use bookmarks. I just dog-ear the pages to mark my place. I did it when I borrowed your childhood copy of The Catcher in the Rye, and I highlighted my favorite lines. With a marker.
Jason's fist connected with Tim's stomach at full force, and Tim doubled over. That felt good. Tim's plan worked. They got out, delivered their captors the beating of their miserable lives, and destroyed the gang's supply of bootleg fear toxin, save for a few canisters that Tim squirreled away to run pest on in the Batcave. Tim called in the GCPD to arrest everyone involved for kidnapping and possession. If the DA was feeling particularly ambitious, he could probably classify the toxin as a weapon of mass destruction, although it would make for a trickier prosecution. Jason's bet was that the DA's office would probably just take these guys down on drug charges, given how much cocaine had been sitting around in the warehouse. You can handle things from here. I'm going to book it before this place turns into a barnyard, Jason said distastefully. That was the one perk of working with his family. Jason could show up and knock some criminal heads together, and then somebody else could corral the pigs afterward.
Yeah, you and I can pick things back up tomorrow night,
Tim told him. Jason revved his motorcycle, but before he could book it, Tim added.
I was lying about The Catcher in the Rye, by the way. I've never read it.
I know you were lying. Jason deadpan. His childhood copy of The Catcher in the Rye had remained untouched in his bedroom at Wayne Manor, just like everything else he used to own. We wouldn't be talking if I thought you were serious.
I wasn't lying about dog-earing books, though.
Jason took a deep breath in through his teeth. Do you have a death wish? He asked dangerously. Tim was unfazed by the threat. He shrugged.
Depends on the day.
Seeing Tim doubled over, hands on his thighs, head between his knees, was a lot less satisfying when Jason hadn't been the one to put him there. It wasn't a punch to the gut that had done it this time. It was more bootleg fear toxin. A different batch, from a different gang, though Tim was sure they'd come from the same supplier. This time, Jason had avoided getting dosed. He had a helmet with a gas filter built into it. He should have been wearing it all along, but it fucked with his voice distortion, made him sound less intimidating. It had been the first thing Tim had pointed out when they'd met up tonight.
Why do you sound like the Tin Man?
Why do you sound like my annoying little brother? Jason had retorted. It was a lame comeback, and they both knew it. The gas filter had been worth it, though. None of the toxin had gotten to him. Jason was feeling fine. Tim, on the other hand, had seen better days. He was currently in the process of violently vomiting out his dinner. Jason wrinkled his nose, but didn't look away. He'd seen much grosser things, though it was painful to see Alfred's cooking disrespected like this. Tim coughed and sputtered and wiped his mouth with the back of his gloved hand.
Kill me now,
he said hoarsely. Jason almost felt bad for him. He looked pretty miserable. This batch of toxin didn't seem to have the same disorienting effect as the last one they'd encountered, at least not from the way Tim was acting. He seemed perfectly lucid, just sick. Is that a serious request? Jason asked, leaning against the wall of one of the buildings they were sandwiched in between, in an alley where Tim could get some privacy for his puking. You know I can take care of that for you. Tim looked up at him. His face was pale in the dim light. Too pale. Paler than usual. He was sweating, his hair sticking to his forehead.
I'll let you know.
Jason winced. He didn't almost feel bad for Tim. He did feel bad for Tim. He didn't enjoy watching Tim suffer. Unless Jason was the one who caused that suffering. Then he enjoyed it. To an extent. He wasn't a total psychopath. He tried to be once, but he couldn't make it last. Are you done throwing up yet? Jason asked, making an effort to sound bored so Tim wouldn't get it in his head that Jason gave a shit. Tim straightened up, stood there for a moment, then shook his head.
Nope.
And doubled over again. Jason still didn't look away. He squinted at the pool of vomit on the asphalt. It was hard to tell in the moonlight, the flickering streetlights, but is that blood? Tim sounded wrecked already.
What?
There's blood in your puke, Jason said. You're puking up blood. Tim followed Jason's gaze. He must have seen the blood, too, but he didn't seem concerned by it.
It's fine. I must have eaten something red today.
Jason leveled him with a glare that Tim couldn't see. I know blood when I see it. I'm taking you back to the cave.
We're not finished tonight,
Tim protested. I can wrap this up without you.
We're working this case together.
Tim was a determined son of a bitch. Jason would give him that. Determined as in annoying, just like everyone else in their family. Right now, we're not doing anything. Jason pointed out. Right now, we're standing around while you literally puke your guts out. As if on cue, Tim turned around and vomited again. Jason took a step closer. Yup, more blood. Still just flecks of it. But Jason wasn't going to stand around waiting for that to change. Jason needed to get Tim to the Batcave. He'd been dosed with an unknown toxin inspired by one of Scarecrow's formulas, and now he was puking up blood. If you die, he said, no one is going to believe me when I say I didn't do it.
You'd have my body cam footage to prove your innocence.
All the bat suits had built-in cameras to aid with their detective work. All except Jason's, obviously. Bruce didn't need to know what he got up to unless Jason chose to tell him about it. Neither did anyone else. No way am I letting Alfred find out you died because I didn't force you to get medical attention, Jason argued. That's worse than killing you. Tim leaned against the opposite wall. He looked exhausted.
Fine,
he relented. He sounded exhausted, too.
Kill me, then. I already asked you to do it.
Jason went over to put a supportive arm around Tim so he could hopefully help Tim stagger out of the alley in the direction of their bikes. Quit being dramatic, he said. Can you walk?
Yes,
Tim insisted stubbornly.
Get off of me.
He tried to shrug Jason off weakly. Jason allowed it. Tim staggered forward a few steps, then doubled over and threw up again. If Tim couldn't even walk, he definitely couldn't ride. I can't take you on either of our bikes, Jason said. You'll throw up all over me. We need the Batmobile. Tim looked over his shoulder to glare at Jason.
No.
Jason held up his hands. He didn't want to have to drag Tim to the Batcave kicking and screaming, but he would. First, he was gonna try to do this the easy way. See if Tim could be reasoned with. Not likely, but it was worth a shot. Listen, I don't want to call in the big man any more than you, but if there's blood in your puke from a toxic substance we still haven't analyzed...
We know it's a knockoff fear toxin.
Tim interrupted. Yeah, Jason challenged. And what are its chemical components, Einstein? They're different from the other toxin we've been exposed to. They produce different side effects. This toxin could be deadly. We don't know because we haven't run an analysis. Tim looked at him for a long moment. He turned away, hacking, spitting onto the ground, like he had nothing left in his stomach to come back up. Fuck, Jason said. Shit. Some of his concern might have seeped through, just a hint of it. He was almost past caring. Now it's just blood.
You're being dramatic. That's mostly bile.
That was it. Jason activated his comms. Red and I need an assist. He's throwing up blood. Tim glared at him.
Traitor.
Yeah, we already knew that about me. Once Jason got through to Bruce, and Bruce assured him he was on his way, Jason shrugged off his jacket. He could get vomit on anything else he was wearing, but he really liked that jacket, and got an arm around him again. He helped him out of the alley to the street, where they'd left their bikes. They sat on the curb and waited in silence. Occasionally, Tim leaned over to cough and sputter some more, and Jason kept an eye on him through the helmet, grateful Tim couldn't see the way he was watching, like an older brother who cared. It would totally ruin Jason's image if Tim knew. The Batmobile screeched to a stop in front of them. Bruce brought Tim and his bike back to the cave, and Jason rode behind them, not wanting to sit in a confined space with a puking Tim and a concerned Bruce. Alfred was waiting for them in the Batcave infirmary. Bruce ushered Tim inside, and Alfred immediately started attending to him. We didn't get any samples of the stuff they dosed him with, Jason told Bruce, taking off his helmet and holding it out in front of him. But there might be residue left in my helmet's filter. Bruce took the helmet and frowned into it, then turned and made his way over to the Batcave's chemical lab. Jason stayed where he was, jacket slung over his shoulder. He still had the mask on. Bruce was still wearing the cowl. He exchanged his usual gloves for latex ones, and with a screwdriver and a pair of tweezers, delicately remove the filter from Jason's helmet.
Thank you for contacting me,
Bruce said. And from the distance they were standing, Jason wasn't sure he'd heard him correctly. Are you talking to me? Bruce pulled the cowl back and turned to look at Jason. It was always a shock, no matter how many times Jason saw him do that. He always expected Bruce to look how he'd look when Jason was 15. He didn't. His hair was graying at the temples. There were permanent frown lines etched onto his forehead. His smile lines were hardly visible, though.
Yes,
Bruce confirmed.
I said, thank you for contacting me.
Jason averted his gaze. He didn't want me to.
No, you kids never do.
A long pause.
I'll get your helmet back to you. You can go home if you want, or you can stay here.
Jason glanced over at Tim and Alfred. He didn't want to leave just yet. I'm not staying here, but I could eat.
Make yourself at home,
Bruce told him, already returning his attention to his analysis. Jason went upstairs. He grabbed a snack, sat at the kitchen counter alone. He tried to remember how long it had been since the last time Bruce had thanked him. By the time Jason returned to the Batcave, Tim was already looking better. He was hunched over, clutching his stomach and groaning, but he wasn't throwing up, at least.
I wish I was dead,
Tim nonetheless complained.
There's no need for dramatics, Master Timothy,
Alfred intoned. He's been like this all night, Jason said. It can't be that bad. Tim glared at him.
You try it, asshole. Language,
Alfred scolded.
He deserves it,
Tim said. Jason ignored him. I'm gonna get out of here. He nodded toward Tim. He'll live, right?
Yes,
Alfred answered.
Unfortunately,
Tim groaned. Tim wasn't allowed to patrol the following night, Alfred's orders, so Jason went out alone and tracked down more of the bootleg fear toxin with a new and improved filter in his helmet that didn't fuck with his voice, courtesy of Bruce. Meanwhile, Tim stayed in the Batcave, investigating potential suppliers. The person, or people, who were making and distributing the stuff. It didn't take Jason long to finish his mission for the night. Destroying warehouses full of drugs, or toxins, same thing, was one of his areas of expertise. He made it back to the cave early and found him exactly where he'd left him, in front of the back computer, frowning at the screen. Jason couldn't decide which was worse, Tim's posture or the bags under his eyes. Jason pulled off his helmet and left it by his bike. He crossed the cave and came to stand over Tim, arms crossed, taking in the scene. Tim was cradling a cup of coffee. His hand had a slight tremor. Exhaustion? Too much caffeine? Both equally plausible. There was an untouched plate of food shoved to the side. It looked like it had gone cold hours ago. Jason hated seeing perfectly good food go to waste. The only excuse was if Tim was still feeling sick to his stomach. Jason decided to ask, just so he knew whether to tear Tim a new one for disrespecting Alfred's cooking yet again. Feeling any better? Tim didn't turn to look at him. He kept staring at the screen. The blue light cast a sickly glow on his pale face. The reflections in his eyes were a sea of numbers and letters. He answered noncommittally.
Haven't eaten all day, unless you count breath mints and coffee.
I don't. Jason started scanning the screen. Most of what he saw was nonsense, at least without the context he needed to decipher it. What have you found? Tim's frown deepened.
Nothing.
Nothing? You've been benched for an entire night with nothing to do but work on the case, and you've got nothing. Jason found that hard to believe. Tim was a pain in the ass, but he was also a better detective than most, even in their family of detectives. He had to have dug up something useful.
Not nothing.
Him amended.
I have the chemical composition of the toxin, thanks to Bruce. I have an antidote, although all it does is make you stop throwing up, since that batch of the toxin failed to produce any psychological effects.
Jason wondered how Tim knew the antidote worked. How did you test it? They didn't exactly keep lab rats. Damien would never allow it.
I synthesized a version of the toxin, dosed myself with it, and administered the antidote.
Jesus. You tested it on yourself? That sounded like hell. Him nodded.
Multiple times.
Jason looked between Tim's pale face, his shaking hands, and his uneaten dinner. He noticed for the first time that the whole cave smelled like antiseptic. You've been doing that all night? Making yourself throw up with bootleg fear toxin and then making yourself stop with the antidote? Tim finally met his gaze. Fucking hell, he looked even worse from this angle.
Trying to make myself stop,
he said.
The first two antidotes I synthesized didn't work.
How long did it take you to get it right? Jason asked. Tim shrugged.
Wasn't keeping track. A couple hours.
Were you throwing up the whole time?
Not the whole time.
Jason was doing his best not to feel any concern for Tim. It wasn't Jason's job to make sure Tim ate and slept and didn't dose himself with harmful chemicals. But he had to admit to feeling somewhat disturbed. Did anyone else in the family know Tim was this bad at taking care of himself? Did anyone else care? Someone should have probably cared. Not Jason, but someone. You must really hate yourself, he observed. Tim made a vague hand gesture.
It comes in waves.
That was a joke, right? Jason was going to tell himself that was a joke. This was already more than he'd signed up for. Tim continued.
I've also definitely confirmed that Crane has no involvement. We basically knew that already. If he was involved, the toxin might actually do what it was supposed to do. But I wanted to be thorough, so I compiled records of everyone who's visited him in Arkham, guards and psychiatrists who've had contact with him, security footage of his cell, everything. He's clean.
That's not the word I would use to describe him, but all right, Jason said. And we know it isn't another A-lister. Gotham's top rogues didn't follow very many rules, but they followed one. They didn't encroach on each other's shticks. That was a major faux pas. So then what do you mean when you said you had nothing?
I don't have any suspects,
Tim replied. Ah, Jason stuck his hands in his jacket pockets. That is basically nothing. You haven't traced where the toxin is being made?
All I know is, whoever's manufacturing it, they don't have the experience required to perfect such a delicate and intensive process. That's why every batch is so wildly different.
Tim returned his attention to the computer screen.
My current theory is that it's some crazy guy in his basement.
Jason hummed in agreement. This family wouldn't know anything about crazy people in a basement, he sarcastically observed.
I don't know what you're talking about,
Tim deadpanned.
I am the pinnacle of mental health.
Clearly.
They probably have gang connections, given how easily they've been able to distribute the stuff. They probably have a history of illicit drug manufacturing, cooking meth or something. I'm currently cross-referencing drug arrests listed in the GCPD's database with anyone who's accessed Crane's research over the past year.
Tim gestured at the screen. Jason leaned forward, scanning the mess of numbers and letters again. He started to recognize what some of them were. IP addresses. That stuff's just on the internet for anyone to read?
His psychological research is, yes.
Did the journals that published his work at least retract those articles?
Yeah, sure, but you can still find copies of them easily.
Any of these people you need me to follow up on? I'm always down for a little recon, and I still have some time tonight. Tim highlighted a few rows of data.
So far, I only have 4 matches,
he said. How much more work do you have left? Jason asked. How many people are out there reading research papers written by a psychopath?
I think the fact that they were written by a psychopath is the appeal.
Tim pointed out. Jason scoffed. True crime nerds, he muttered derisively. All right, you have four people for me to follow up on. They all still live in Gotham?
Yep, I have their names and home addresses.
Got any other details on them? Jason knew the answer would be yes.
I've got everything,
Tim said, opening an incredibly intricate spreadsheet.
Employment history, relationship status, criminal record, credit score, social security number. What do you want to know?
Jason raised his eyebrows at the massive influx of data. I should start using a VPN. Tim turned to gape at him, scandalized.
You haven't been using a VPN?
Of course I use a VPN, Jason smirked. I just wanted to see the look on your face when I said I don't. With the information Tim had collected, Jason headed out again. He wanted to be thorough in his investigation, so he only got to two of the individuals Tim had identified. The first was a dealer who'd been to prison for possession with intent to distribute three times. He was on parole, but he was already back to his old habits. Jason broke into his empty apartment and looked for clues. As far as Jason could tell, he was a perfectly ordinary small-time drug dealer. Likely not the person they were looking for. The second potential suspect was an ex-con studying sociology at Gotham City Community College. He was home, so Jason set off the fire alarm in his building to scope the place out. No red flags there, either. When the sun started to peek over the horizon, Jason decided to finally call it a night. He contacted Tim via comms, figuring Tim would probably still be awake, unless Alfred had gotten to him. How many more suspects have you found us? He asked. Tim's pause was a few beats too long, his brain's processing speed delayed from a lack of sleep.
Three more.
I covered two of them tonight. We can probably fit the remaining five in tomorrow night, with both of us working on it. Jason reasoned. As long as you're up for it.
Yeah, totally. Totally up for it.
Tim said.
Meet at the cave at 11.
Sure. It was Jason's turn to pause. Not because he was tired, because he was second-guessing himself. It wasn't that he cared. It definitely wasn't that. But he was working with him on a case. It benefited Jason for Tim to be well-rested, or as well-rested as anyone in their line of work could ever be. He needed Tim at peak performance, not shaking and stumbling over his words. That was how Jason justified saying, "You should go to sleep."
Not until after I finish.
Jason interrupted harshly. Go to sleep, or I make sure you're benched another day. He could feel Tim's glare through his earpiece.
That's playing dirty.
Jason rolled his eyes. What do you think I do? Tim didn't look much better than the last time Jason had seen him. He wasn't shaking, so that was a point in his favor. He must have gotten some rest. Emphasis on some, as in not a lot, because his face was still ghostly and his under eyes were still practically purple. You up for patrol tonight? Jason asked as Tim was pulling on his gloves and boots, buckling his belts, checking his earpiece.
I'm fine.
Tim insisted. Jason supposed that depended on Tim's definition of fine. It seemed like the bar was pretty low. Did Alfred clear you? Tim glared at him before covering his eyes with his mask.
If you don't want to work with me tonight, you can just say so. We'll split up and each take half the suspects. It'll be faster that way.
That was not what Jason was trying to accomplish. What was he trying to accomplish? All I'm saying is, you still look a little pasty. Although, thinking about it now, you kind of always look like that.
It's the 7 years of no sleep.
Oh, it must be so hard not getting enough sleep, Jason said sarcastically. I bet no one in this family can relate.
I'm not fishing for sympathy points,
Tim retorted.
I'm acknowledging that my under eyes are 50 shades of gray, and I haven't seen the sun since last summer. You're the one who pointed it out.
Tim gestured vaguely to Jason.
You're not exactly the picture of health yourself.
Jason couldn't take too much offense to that. He knew he also looked tired. He was tired. Unlike him, though, he didn't look ill, so at least he had that going for him. I look better than you, he remarked.
You look like the living dead.
Jason glared, grateful he hadn't put his mask on yet, so Tim could fully appreciate how visibly unamused he was. I expect that sort of joke from Dick, he said. Not from you. Tim smirked, unfazed by Jason's criticism.
I was channeling my inner Grayson for a second there,
he admitted. Don't do it again, Jason warned. One of him is enough. He put his mask on, then his helmet, activated his voice distortion, and added, in an appropriately threatening tone, I'm serious, though. You better not throw up on me tonight.
I'm in no danger of throwing up. I haven't eaten anything all day.
Oh, cool. Great. Yeah, that was exactly what Jason had been hoping to hear. You said you didn't eat anything yesterday.
Breathmints and coffee.
Tim reminded him. So you won't throw up on me, but you might faint? Tim brushed past him, heading for their bikes.
You sound like Alfred. I go without eating all the time.
That was not as encouraging as Tim had probably intended it to be. No wonder you're such a twig, Jason told him. Do you need a protein shake before we go?
I already told you I'm fine.
Tim sounded like he was losing his patience. Jason decided to lay off. It wasn't his job to babysit Tim. He'd leave that impossible task to Alfred, and to a lesser extent, Bruce and Dick. Maybe Tim's boyfriend could pitch in, but not Jason. They got on their bikes and sped out of the Batcave, heading to their first destination of the night. They wanted to get through all five suspects, but it depended on how boring the suspects were. If Tim and Jason found any leads to follow up on, those would take more time to investigate. The first three potential suspects were all non-starters. They were scoping out number four, Jason peering through the suspect's windows with binoculars, when Tim started to complain.
God, I'm starving.
No shit, Jason remarked. You haven't eaten in how long?
48 hours, give or take. Can we grab McDonald's?
One of us has to stay here. Tim scoffed.
Come on, this place is a bust and we both know it.
Tim was right. This place was definitely a bust. But Jason wasn't going to pass up on the opportunity to get some alone time away from Tim and his laundry list of looming health problems, the lack of sleep, the long stretches without eating, and whatever other bad habits Jason hadn't yet discovered and frankly didn't want to know about. I'm not going to let our guy get away because your digestive system is nocturnal, Jason said. Go to McDonald's by yourself. Stay on comms.
Fine.
Tim grumbled, getting to his feet and detaching his grappling hook from his belt. Bring me a small fry and a 4-count McNuggets, Jason instructed, not taking his eyes off the suspect's apartment. The man was still smoking pot with his roommates in front of a big screen TV, watching Star Trek: The Voyage Home. None of them had moved except to get up to use the bathroom or get more snacks. This definitely wasn't their guy. Tim wasn't gone long. He returned with a brown bag of McDonald's and a cup of McDonald's coffee in his hand and crouched next to Jason.
Any suspicious activity?
He asked. Nothing, Jason reported.
Told you this place is a bust. Here.
Tim took out Jason's small fry and 4-count McNuggets. Jason didn't want to fill up on too much food mid-patrol, but he could never turn down McDonald's nuggets or fries. He took off his helmet to eat. What'd you get? Jason asked, idly curious.
double quarter pounder with cheese, large fries, large black coffee, and an ice cream cone that I ate on the way here.
Him listed, digging around in the brown bag, taking out his cheeseburger, unwrapping it, and taking a big bite. You know that stuff doesn't legally count as ice cream, Jason told him.
That's what makes it so good,
Kim said through a mouthful of food. You'd better hope you don't have to fight anyone tonight on a full stomach, Jason pointed out.
I get McDonald's on patrol all the time.
Does Alfred know your diet consists exclusively of breath mints, coffee, and midnight McDonald's? This was meant to be a joke, but apparently it wasn't far off from the truth, because Tim responded seriously.
You're not going to tell him, are you?
Jason hesitated. Was he going to rat Tim out to Alfred? It's none of my business, I guess, he decided. Tim finished his burger and started in on his fries.
It was none of your business when I was throwing up blood, but apparently that warranted calling in the big guns.
Jason stared at Tim, dumbfounded. Do you hear yourself? Yes, you eating nothing but fast food is a lower priority than you throwing up blood, Jason said, trying to drive his point home and knowing he would fail because Tim was just that dense. The fast food thing will at least take a few decades to kill you. Tim smirked.
Is that your way of admitting you don't want me to die?
It's my way of saying I don't want to be there when you do, Jason corrected him. Although, truthfully, he didn't want Tim to die. Hadn't in years. Even back when Jason had tried to kill him, he hadn't really known Tim then. Tim was a privileged, annoying, sarcastic little know-it-all who Jason wanted to punch in the face half the time. The only good things about him were that he fit in small spaces, his genius sometimes came in handy, he could always get a rise out of Damien, and he was decently funny. Jason didn't want him to die. Bruce would probably find some way to blame me for it, Jason added, upending the last of his fries into his mouth. The world around Jason was sharp, overexposed. The moon was too bright. The stars were swimming in his vision, three times as many of them as usual, and there was a constant ringing in his ears like the whine of a mosquito, but amplified, drowning out his thoughts. He swore he could hear the pounding of his own blood in his veins. A voice cut through the ringing, too loud. Bruce's voice. No, Batman's voice. Deep, gravelly, too familiar. It brought with it a surge of bad memories and blind rage.
Red Robin, Red Hood, there's a disturbance near you. Reports of gunfire. Are you available to respond?
Jason clenched his teeth inside his helmet. His heart was beating too fast. He wanted to shoot something. He'd tried it already, hoping the gunshots would drown out the ringing, but then Tim had thrown his guns into the harbor. They were fighting. Jason was chasing Tim along the docks. He should have taken Tim down by now. He'd had the element of surprise on his side. Tim hadn't expected the attack. But Tim had leapt into action quickly, wrestling Jason's handguns away from him. Step one, disarm your opponent. Tim and Jason had both been trained by the same man. Now they were hand to hand, but Jason still had the advantage. Tim was shorter, smaller, weaker, and he wasn't as ruthless. Jason had been in the game longer, and he had his League of Assassins training. He could take Tim down. He'd done it before. He would do it again. This time for good. He couldn't remember why he'd decided to kill Tim. It seemed immaterial. He would kill Tim. That was all that mattered.
I'm responding,
Tim said, also in Jason's ear. He was out of breath, running. He ducked down an alley, and Jason followed, hot on his tail. Tim whipped a birdarang over his shoulder with terrifying accuracy. It lodged in Jason's shoulder, but Jason barely felt the pain. He pulled the weapon out of his skin and tossed it blindly to the ground, slick with blood. He kept running.
"What's the nature of the disturbance?"
Bruce said. Hearing him made the ringing get louder. Jason's neck was sore. For some reason, he could feel that pain radiating down his spine, even while the fresh wound in his shoulder was numb.
"More of that knockoff fear toxin,"
Tim said, scaling the side of a building.
"The copycat has refined their formula. It's capable of triggering intense anxiety, paranoia, and rage."
Jason landed on the rooftop just in time to see Tim leaping to the next building over. Jason sprinted after him.
"How many people have been affected?"
Tim was faster than Jason. He was lighter and carrying less, and the wings of his suit gave him a slight lift when he jumped.
"Just one,"
he told Bruce, still running. Jason shouted in frustration. Tim was a coward, refusing to face him. He knew he didn't stand a chance if he did. And Bruce's voice was in his ear. Jason felt like he was going insane. "Get out of my fucking head," he demanded. There was a pause, silence except for the ringing, Tim's heavy breathing, their footsteps. Then Bruce, addressing Tim.
"Do you need assistance?" "Just stay off Red Hood's comm channel,"
Tim instructed.
"I'll handle the rest."
Finally, Tim stopped and whirled around, taking a fighting stance, holding his bow staff at the ready.
"I'm not trying to hurt you,"
he called out to Jason. It was windy down by the harbor. His hair whipped across his forehead.
"I'm trying to help you."
Jason wasn't listening to anything Tim had to say. None of it made a difference to his mission. Kill Tim, then kill Bruce after. Probably a lot of other people. But Tim first, definitely. Because Jason couldn't find a reason. Because Tim was here and he needed to die. Jason hadn't felt bloodlust like this in a long time. And this was the only way he could think to sate it. He lunged at Tim. Tim dodged, struck back at him, held him off for a while, until Jason gave him a taste of his own medicine. Step one, disarm your opponent, and ripped his bow staff out of his hands, tossed it off the roof, heard it clatter to the ground. He pinned Tim, but only for a second, before Tim escaped his hold and started running again. "Stay down," Jason demanded, giving chase. Tim hadn't had as much of a head start this time. Jason caught up to him and tackled him, face down, kneeling on his legs, holding his arms behind his back. "Just give up," Jason told him through gritted teeth, his helmet making the words come out low and distorted. Tim struggled, trying to push himself up, trying to pull his arms free from Jason's grip.
"If I was going to give up, I would have fucking done it already,"
he managed. One arm came free, and he got a hold of Jason by the back of his neck and slammed his head against the ground. Jason's helmet protected him from the blow, but it disoriented him enough that Tim got loose again and kicked him in the chest, full force, knocking the air out of his lungs. Jason recovered quickly, got up, went after Tim. "You'll never beat me."
"I don't have to,"
Tim said. He swung down a fire escape, landing gracefully in another alley where his bow staff had fallen.
"I just have to keep you occupied until the toxin wears off."
Jason descended after him, and they grappled some more. "What toxin?" Jason demanded. The ringing in his ears was fading somewhat. His shoulder was starting to hurt. He hit Tim in the face, and he distantly remembered when he and Tim had been trapped together, the fake fight they'd staged in order to escape, Tim requesting Jason not to punch him in the face because he had a date the following day.
"The fear toxin you've been dosed with,"
Tim explained. The soreness in Jason's neck. He'd been injected with a needle there. That was when the ringing had started. The bloodlust. Fear toxin. Right. Jason and Tim were on a mission to track down whoever was manufacturing and distributing their own inferior version of Scarecrow's fear toxin. They'd been dosed once already, which had led to their aforementioned capture. And then Tim had been dosed again and thrown up blood. Jason remembered being concerned for him. The why came back to Jason, breaking through the fog in his brain. Why was he doing this? Why was he trying to kill Tim? The bloodlust. The ringing. hearing Bruce's voice in his ear and being filled with an inexplicable rage. In Jason's confusion, Tim got a hit on him, and Jason staggered backward. His first instinct was to lunge, get his hands around Tim's throat, squeeze until he felt Tim go limp. His second instinct was to take another step back, reevaluate, try to figure out what the hell was going on. Fear toxin, intense anxiety, paranoia, rage. Jason went with his second instinct. He took a step back. Tim saw him do it and did the same. They put distance between each other, staring at each other, waiting for the other to make a move. The ringing had stopped. Fear toxin, Jason said. It was all coming back to him. The memories more easily accessible now that he wasn't singularly focused on murder. Jason and Tim had finally identified their culprit, and tonight they were supposed to be apprehending him. They tracked him down to an abandoned building by the harbor. Faced with two of Gotham's top vigilantes, he'd done the only thing he could think of to escape. Dosed Jason with an injectable version of his fear toxin and booked it while Jason was attacking Tim. At least Jason hadn't done any major damage. Tim would have plenty of bruises, but no broken bones. Jason would have a cut on his shoulder. None of that would jeopardize the mission. The come down from the fear toxin was almost as rough as the toxin itself. Jason was nearly bowled over by vertigo. He had to support himself against a wall. He didn't feel like he was in any danger of throwing up, at least, but his head was pounding. His emotions were all over the place. He was on edge.
Do you need to go back to the cave?
Tim asked. I'm fine, Jason lied. Just give me a minute. We need to track that guy down.
It might be easier for me to do that on my own,
Tim suggested. He sounded on edge, too, which pissed Jason off. What reason did Tim have? Oh, right. Jason had tried to kill him. Yeah, okay. Maybe Tim did have a reason to be feeling on edge and wanting to finish the night's patrol on his own. Jason didn't want to admit defeat, though. It made him feel weak to have to turn in early, which made something ugly inside him rear its head. Not the same ugliness the fear toxin had stirred up. Something that was entirely his own creation. You know what? He said bitterly. I'd actually rather be on my own, too. Tim didn't respond right away. Then he nodded.
Yeah, sorry for beating you up. You were trying to attack me.
Jason bristled at the implication that Tim was capable of beating him up. Please, you did jack shit. I just don't want to be around the guy who threw my guns in the harbor.
I didn't want to get shot.
Or you knew you didn't stand a chance against me armed. Jason was feeling less dizzy. He stood back up to his full height. You didn't stand a chance against me unarmed either. All you could do was stall until the toxin wore off. You admitted it yourself. He saw Tim tighten his grip on his bow staff. Seemed he'd struck a nerve.
Guess we're flying solo for the rest of the night,
Tim said.
Try not to get dosed with fear toxin and murder anyone.
He turned on his heel and stalked out of the alley, and Jason was grateful for the solitude and the silence. No more ringing in his ears, no more fear toxin in his veins, no more Tim. Jason pulled into the Batcave 15 minutes late. He was always at least 10 minutes late to anything involving his family, unless it was life or death. He was feeling a lot more sane after sleeping off the previous night. He was glad nothing irreversible had happened. Tim hadn't been able to take him down, but he had been able to fend him off, and that had been enough. Jason wasn't going to thank him, but he was going to try to be a little nicer than usual tonight. He figured Tim had earned it, but Tim was nowhere in sight. Bruce was still in the cave, frowning at something in the forensic lab. He didn't look up when Jason dismounted his bike and removed his helmet. Jason knew better than to assume that meant Bruce hadn't heard him arrive, or that he wasn't listening in case Jason decided to acknowledge his presence. Jason did. Where's Tim?
He left for patrol 15 minutes ago,
Bruce intoned. He didn't look up from his work. He left without me. Jason frowned. We're supposed to be working on a case together. Bruce didn't respond immediately. Then, after a moment, he said,
This is the fear toxin case.
Yeah. Did he say anything to you about it?
He mentioned you two found the culprit last night, but that he got away.
Jason clenched his jaw. He was still pissed at himself for letting a dangerous criminal escape. Did he say why? This finally prompted Bruce to look up at Jason.
I didn't ask.
He paused again and raised one eyebrow.
Should I have?
Jason narrowed his eyes. No.
Have you and Tim been getting along?
As well as we ever do. That eyebrow lifted even higher. It's none of your business, Jason snapped. I'll find him. He must have gotten sick of waiting for me. Jason pulled his helmet back on and stomped back to his bike. Before he could leave, Bruce called out to him.
Jason.
Jason didn't turn around. He braced himself for Bruce to scold him for upsetting Tim, warn him to lay off, tell him to apologize. Instead, all Bruce said was,
If either of you need anything, let me know.
Jason didn't give Bruce the satisfaction of responding. He found him in the abandoned building where they'd tracked their culprit down the night before. Their culprit wasn't stupid enough to return to the scene of the crime. The place was empty. Tim was scouring it for clues. He didn't acknowledge Jason's presence. Tim really took after Bruce somehow, even though they weren't biologically related. Their disappointment was the same flavor. Maybe Tim was pissed at Jason for letting a dangerous criminal escape, too. You left without me, Jason said. He was grateful for his helmet's voice distortion. He didn't know how he would sound otherwise.
You were late,
Tim replied shortly. He was inspecting the equipment their culprit had been using to manufacture the fear toxin. It was cobbled together shit. Jason had seen more professional meth labs. Jason sifted through vials of fear toxin. None of it had been aerosolized yet. This was the stuff the culprit had injected Jason with. What are we going to do with all this? He asked.
We?
Tim echoed, glancing over his shoulder, his mouth a thin, hard line.
I'm going to destroy most of it and bring a few vials from each batch back to the Batcave for analysis. You're going to leave. Now.
What about our guy? You're going to go after him alone? You thought you'd try to finish this by yourself? Jason scoffed. Not likely, seeing what happened last night. Tim slammed his hands down on the culprit's workspace. He raised his voice.
You mean when you rushed in without me, got injected with fear toxin because you were only prepared for an aerosolized attack, tried to kill me, and let a dangerous criminal get away? Is that what you're referring to?
Jason didn't appreciate being yelled at, and he didn't respond well to Tim. Of all people, him, echoing Jason's own frustrations and throwing his failure into his face. So he lashed out in return. Are you seriously still being a bitch about the fact that you couldn't take me down? Tim spun around fully.
That's not the point,
he said.
I'm pissed that you rushed into a dangerous situation after I warned you to be cautious because you don't think anything I say is worth listening to.
I've been listening to you, Jason argued. I listen when you asked me to help you with this case because you thought it'd be a two-person job. I don't know why you asked me, and not literally anyone else. I'm pretty sure you even get along better with Damien.
Nightwing is in Bloodhaven, Batman and Robin are working a case together, and Black Bat and Spoiler are working a case together.
Tim interrupted.
I thought about asking Signal to switch to the night shift for a few weeks, but I didn't want to throw off his whole schedule, and I didn't think working with you would be this bad, or that the case would take this long to solve.
He turned away, fists clenched, jaw tight.
Guess I was wrong on both counts.
Hey, Jason said harshly, coming to stand next to Tim, forcing Tim to give him his attention. That wasn't the only time I listened to you. I listened when you told me to pretend to try to kill you so we could escape. When you told me to punch you in the gut instead of the face. When you sent me around to follow up on those IP addresses you found. When you told me not to snitch to Alfred about your terrible diet. I've been a damn good partner.
You've done the bare minimum,
Tim retorted. You're letting your personal feelings about me get in the way of the mission. Tim threw up his hands.
I wonder who that sounds like.
Jason had to turn away. They weren't getting anywhere arguing, and they were so close to solving this damn case. Listen, I don't give a shit how you feel about me, he said. Really, I don't. So long as you get your head in the game and stop letting it affect the mission.
I haven't been the one affecting the mission.
Tim gestured around them.
This is your fault. We had him. We had him, and now he knows we're onto him because you...
rushed in. I get it. I heard you the first time. Tim poked a finger at Jason's chest.
So you can keep going after him if you want, but you won't be doing it with me.
Jason shrugged him off forcefully. We're just gonna both go after the same guy and not work together? That doesn't make any sense, he said, getting more and more aggravated. Him was being unreasonable. Yeah, Jason had gotten dosed with fear toxin and had lost them their perp, temporarily, but what about the time Tim had gotten dosed? What about the time they both had? What are you gonna do when you fuck up and you don't have someone else around to blame for your mistakes? Jason taunted. Tim's face shuddered.
Fuck you.
Who's gonna save your ass when you get in over your head?
I guess I'll die.
Tim said hollowly, like he'd been filled with anger and someone had come and scooped it all out.
It's sounding like a better option every day.
Tim gathered up the vials he'd singled out to take with him back to the Batcave. Then he shoved past Jason toward the door.
It's your crime scene now. I have what I need.
Jason turned and watched him leave. The door slammed shut, and the anger that had been fueling Jason in the moment started to seep away, leaving something else behind. Tim didn't actually want to die, did he? Jason could joke about his own mental health problems because he was fucked up and he knew it. He didn't try to hide it. He wasn't ashamed of it. He had issues. Everyone knew. Working with Tim, Jason hadn't been fazed when Tim had made jokes of his own.
Do you have a death wish?
Depends on the day. Kill me now. Fine, kill me then. I already asked you to do it. I wish I was dead.
He'll live, right?
Unfortunately.
You must really hate yourself.
It comes in waves. I guess I'll die. It's sounding like a better option every day.
Jokes, right? The last one, maybe not so much. Tim hadn't been in a joking mood when he delivered it. But the rest, definitely jokes. Tim didn't actually hate himself and want to die. Jason told himself this over and over again, trying to make himself believe it. But he was a detective, and he couldn't ignore the rest of the evidence. There was a threshold of normal Wayne behavior when it came to neglecting self-care, and Tim was way past that line, well into the danger zone. Jason had known for a while, but he told himself it wasn't his job to look after Tim. Someone else in the family would notice, and then they could handle it. It wasn't on Jason. He was, out of all his siblings, the least qualified to be his brother's keeper. Not to mention, Tim's mental health situation couldn't be that dire. That was another thing Jason told himself and tried to make himself believe. Tim was still functional. He was still going out on patrol and working cases. He was... Jason cut himself off. He'd been pacing the length of his shitty apartment in the Narrows for hours. It was well past dawn. He'd been up all night. His mind was racing. Was he seriously going to wait until Tim collapsed from exhaustion or malnutrition before intervening? What if that didn't happen? What if something worse happened first? What if Tim made a careless mistake in a fight and got himself killed? What if Tim's jokes about hating himself and wanting to die had something behind them? What if Tim started throwing himself into dangerous situations he wasn't prepared for on purpose, hoping he might not make it out? It wasn't unheard of. Jason had done it himself in his darker moments. He'd heard that Bruce had done little else after Jason had died. And there was always the traditional way, the direct method, If Tim wanted to die and he couldn't get a third party to do it for him, it made Jason feel sick to think about. Instinctively, he wanted to shove the thought away. Instead, he forced himself to examine it. The jokes were probably just that. Jokes. But what if they were more? A cry for help, maybe? Jason knew how strong the will to live could be. And sometimes, when it was buried under depression and self-hatred and trauma, it manifested in strange ways. In his lowest moments, Jason had mostly stayed alive out of spite. This world had killed him once. He wasn't going to help it finish the job. Bruce's non-traditional coping mechanisms included becoming a bat-themed vigilante sworn to protect Gotham and training young vigilantes to be. Having responsibilities and someone else to take care of forced him to take care of himself. And Tim. Tim had sought out the sibling least likely to care if he lived or died, the sibling most comfortable with gallows humor, and started cracking jokes that Jason was unlikely to take as a warning sign of anything until it was too late. Because apparently, Tim was playing this shit on hard mode. The risk of doing nothing was too high. Contrary to Tim's assumptions, Jason did care whether Tim lived or died. He cornered Tim the following night in the Batcave. He'd shown up half an hour early so he wouldn't miss Tim leaving. Tim hadn't even gotten changed yet. "You don't actually want to die, do you?" Jason hissed. He dragged him over to one of the walls of the cave. They were alone, but there was no guarantee they would stay that way. And Jason wasn't trying to blast Tim's deepest, darkest secrets for the whole family to hear. Tim glared up at him.
"Careful,"
he warned.
"I might start thinking you give a shit."
Jason narrowed his eyes and lowered his voice. "I'm not fucking joking." He had a hand on Tim's shoulder. It wasn't meant to be a comfort. It was meant to be a threat.
"You're not going anywhere until you tell me the truth."
Tim held his glare on Jason for several seconds, like he was trying to determine how serious Jason was. Then his gaze fell to the floor, and he crossed his arms defensively.
"I told you before."
Some, but not all, of the hostility was gone from his tone.
"It comes in waves."
Jason blinked at him. He hadn't actually expected Tim to admit it. It was a cry for help. He'd done the right thing. "You're being serious," Jason said, concealing his surprise. Tim shrugged Jason's hand off his shoulder. Jason allowed it.
"Everyone in this family is depressed."
Jason wasn't letting that pathetic attempt at a diversion tactic fly. Yes, every Wayne was depressed, but they weren't talking about the other Waynes. They were talking about Tim. "There's different tiers to this shit," Jason insisted. "Someone depressed but coping with it is different from someone repeatedly saying they want to die."
"I'm not gonna do anything."
"You'd lie about it if you were." Tim squinted at him.
"How would you know that?"
"It was confession time? Fine. Because that's what I do." Tim's eyebrows shot up. Jason didn't know why he was surprised. Jason knew he didn't exude mentally healthy energy.
"You've tried to..."
"I didn't go through with it," Jason said, as if that wasn't obvious, given that he was still standing here. Jason had never told anyone how close he'd come. He hadn't had anyone to tell in those days. By now, it was all in the past. He knew better. Not completely, but enough. "Does your boyfriend know?" he asked. Something crossed Tim's face. Guilt? Shame? Something along those lines.
"It's not his problem."
Everyone in this family always had to be a goddamn martyr. Jesus. "No, it's not his problem, but I think he'd want to know about it," Jason pointed out. "Does anyone else in the family know?"
"That I'm depressed? It's not a secret."
"That you're suicidal." It was the first time either of them had used the S word.
"I'm not suicidal,"
Tim claimed. "I'm not buying it," Jason countered. "How many times over the past few weeks have you joked about hating yourself and wanting to die?"
"Those are jokes. You make them too."
Not as often as you. Him drew his hands in tighter to his chest.
I wouldn't have said that shit if I'd known you'd take it seriously. I thought you'd get it.
I do get it, Jason replied. That's why I'm taking it seriously. He paused. Did anything pause it? Are things okay with you and Khan?
Things are great,
Tim insisted. He sounded defeated.
It's not... I don't...
He sighed.
There isn't a reason.
Jason nodded. Hey, it's not always my parents died, or my kid died, or I died, he said. Sometimes it's just brain chemicals.
Stupid fucking brain chemicals,
Tim muttered. Jason knew there was a good chance Tim was going to hate him for what he said next, but it had to be done. I'm going to let you pick who I tell about this. Tim looked up, alarmed.
You can't tell anyone. People would overreact.
We wouldn't want anyone to overreact to the threat of you dying, Jason deadpanned.
I'm not going to die,
Tim said dismissively. I'm not taking that risk. I don't care if that makes you think I give a shit about you. Maybe I do, but I'm not qualified to handle this.
I'm not asking you to handle it.
Jason put his foot down. Pick who I tell, or I'll pick for you. Alfred, Bruce, Dick, or Khan.
You can't tell Khan,
Tim said immediately. Then pick one of the other three, Jason instructed. Tim considered it.
Bruce,
he decided. Jason raised an eyebrow. That's a choice.
Alfred and Dick would make me go to therapy,
Tim reasoned. He was probably right about that. I'm telling him tonight.
No!
Tim held up his hands.
At least wait until morning. I don't want him to feel like he has to skip patrol.
Jason stared at him. Tim viewed his spiraling mental health as an inconvenience, something he didn't want to burden anyone else with. He didn't want to disrupt Bruce's patrol. He didn't want his boyfriend to know. He didn't want anyone to overreact. Timothy, that is so fucked up. Jason didn't honor Tim's request. He found Bruce in his study, finishing a work call, probably with someone in a different time zone given the late hour. Jason stood in the doorway, arms crossed, tapping his foot impatiently until Bruce hung up.
What do you need?
Bruce asked. He didn't tell Jason off for his immature behavior. He knew if Jason was here to ask him for something, it must have been important, because Jason didn't ask for shit unless it was life or death. I need to talk to you, Jason said. He came into the room fully, closing the door behind him. He didn't sit down. He didn't plan on being here long. Bruce waited patiently for Jason to continue. Jason figured he should cut straight to the chase. Tim's suicidal. On second thought, maybe he should have cushioned that slightly. Bruce didn't try to hide the emotion that this revelation made him feel. It was an unfamiliar expression on his face. He looked scared. There was a time, once, when Jason had thought Bruce wasn't afraid of anything, that he was incapable of feeling fear. He'd gotten a lot older since then. He knew now that the thing Bruce feared above all was anything bad happening to his family.
What?
Bruce prompted. Tim keeps making jokes about hating himself and wanting to die, Jason explained. It's starting to make me uncomfortable. And I don't know if you've noticed, but he hasn't been taking care of himself. I mean, even less than usual.
Have you spoken to him about it?
Yes. He's in denial about how serious it is.
How serious is it?
Jason stuck his hands in the pockets of his jeans. He'd come down here in civilian clothes. He had his spare suit down in the cave. He could change later, but he hadn't wanted to be geared up to confront him about his mental health. It hadn't seemed appropriate. It's hard to say. He doesn't have a plan, I don't think, but you know how fast it can escalate.
I do.
Bruce acknowledged. He'd already shifted gears. He wasn't panicking anymore. He was strategizing.
Thank you for telling me,
he added. Yeah, well, Jason started tapping his foot again, not out of impatience this time. He'd never had a conversation like this with Bruce, with anyone. I'm not qualified to help him with this. Bruce caught Jason's gaze, and Jason didn't look away. His foot stopped tapping.
You already have,
Bruce assured him. Jason nodded. Don't freak out in front of him, okay? He's worried you'll overreact. Try to stay calm when you talk to him about it. And don't tell anyone else. He really doesn't want Khan to know. He didn't want me to tell Alfred or Dick either, and... Bruce cut him off gently.
Jason, I know I haven't always been the best father, but this is one thing I know how to handle.
Jason could believe that. This definitely wasn't Bruce's first mental health rodeo. He nodded again. Don't make me regret this, he warned. Bruce's expression couldn't quite be classified as a smile, but it was in the vicinity of a smile.
I'll do my best.
Jason didn't hear from Tim or Bruce for the rest of the night. He didn't know how well Bruce and Tim's conversation had gone. It wasn't really any of his business, but that didn't stop him from being curious. Had Bruce royally fucked it up? Or had he actually said the right things? Had Tim been open with him? Had they come up with a plan to help Tim get in a better headspace? Did Tim hate Jason for getting involved? Did Jason care if Tim hated him? He returned the following night, early again, and Tim was there, suiting up. He didn't acknowledge anything that had happened the night before except to say,
I've been encouraged not to patrol alone, so I guess we're back to working on this case together.
It was impossible to tell how he was feeling. He was keeping it bottled up tight. Jason had figured out their culprit's likely hideout, so he and Tim went after him. This time they were ready. No one got dosed with fear toxin, no one got captured, no one threw up, and no one tried to kill anyone. Jason didn't dip before the police arrived. He and Tim stood on the roof of the culprit's hideout together, surrounded by flashing lights and sirens, and watched officers swarm the scene and take him away in handcuffs. Jason refrained from insulting any of the boys in blue. That wasn't too hard, he remarked to Tim. Tim side-eyed him.
He only managed to evade us for weeks and succeeded in breaking up our team,
he rebutted. Our team wasn't very strong to begin with, Jason waved a hand dismissively. Besides, we worked it out. We finished the mission.
It's still humiliating. This is the sort of shit I'd expect to deal with from an A-lister.
Tim motioned to their culprit, who was currently getting read his rights.
He's just a regular guy.
Believe me, I'm not proud of myself here either, Jason admitted. We can do better. Next time, we will, he smirked. That is, if you ever want to work with me again after this.
You only tried to kill me once,
Tim said with a shrug.
Maybe next time we can try to make it zero.
Let's not get our hopes up too high, Jason teased. Two officers stuffed the culprit into the back of a squad car and drove off. Tim and Jason remained where they were. Tim had already handed over the evidence he'd collected to the lead detective. The Bat's involvement in the case was done.
I really don't want to write up this case report,
Tim complained. Jason glanced over at him. You can lie. Say the reason it took us so long to catch the guy is because I'm terrible at working with people, and you never should have asked for my help in the first place.
You're letting me blame you for my mistakes?
Sure, why not? Tim cocked his head to the side. He looked suspicious. Rightfully so. Anyone in their right mind would be suspicious of Jason Todd doing something nice for them.
You don't have to treat me differently,
he started to say. Jason cut him off. Just this once. Trust me, it won't happen again. Tim raised his eyebrows.
Is that a promise?
It's a guarantee, loser.
Well, I'm not throwing you under the bus, but I appreciate the offer.
Tim leaned against his bow staff casually.
I think Bruce will take it easy on me for a little while anyway. Not that I want him to, but I don't think there's any way to avoid it.
Jason seized the opportunity to satisfy his curiosity. How was Bruce? He asked. Do I need to tell him off for you?
Thought you said you won't do any other nice things for me.
You'd be doing something nice for me by giving me an excuse to yell at our dad. Tim's expression couldn't quite be classified as a smile, but it was in the vicinity of a smile. He really was so much like Bruce sometimes.
He actually did a pretty good job. He didn't freak out. He gave me a choice between meds and therapy. If the meds don't help, then I have to go to therapy.
That's big talk from a man who hasn't seen the inside of a therapist's office since he was young enough for Alfred to force him to go.
He's always been a do-as-I-say, not-as-I-do parent.
Jason snorted. Yeah. After a brief stretch of silence, Jason was well past the point where he'd given away that he'd cared, so he didn't have any qualms about adding, I hope the meds help.
Me too.
Tim looked down at the rooftop under their feet.
I guess I should thank you.
Oh, that really wasn't necessary. Just because Jason may have done one brotherly thing didn't mean they both needed to get all sappy. Please don't, he insisted. We can just pretend this never happened. We can literally never speak of it again. Tim sounded relieved by that.
Cool,
he said. Cool, Jason repeated.
Great.
Yeah, ideal. Tim gestured over his shoulder.
I'll go write up that case report.
There's still time to blame me for everything, Jason reminded him.
Not gonna happen.
Tim vaulted off the rooftop, shot his grappling hook out in front of him, and swung away. Jason watched him go. The end.